You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. David Baer here, and today we're going to be talking about social media and content online. This is an area that I kind of struggle with. Because I do things very, very intentionally with my social presence, which is minimal. And I get people complaining to me, David, you don't post nearly enough. I don't see new stuff from you all the time. Well, I'm pleased to say that I have somebody who's got my back on that as my guest today. Because Katie Brinkley, who knows a little bit about social media, doesn't necessarily recommend that I need to be posting every 2 hours on every single social channel. But there is a little bit of sort of strategic thinking behind how to do social media effectively and properly based on whatever the heck your goals might be. So we're going to get inside her brain and understand a little bit about how to utilize the social channels effectively for whatever our goals might be.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation and hopefully giving everyone their get out of jail free card with social media and how often they need to be posting.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I want to dive into that particular point because it's something that I, in my conversations with other marketers, marketing service providers, we're regularly talking about how do we do the things that we're doing for our clients for ourselves. And there's a debate in one of my Slack workspaces on this very point about I need to be everywhere all the time because I need to feed the algorithm, a phrase that gets bantered about a little bit too much in the marketing services world. And I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, and I think that with all social media, you have to have some sort of a presence. It's just like having a website. If you don't have a website, does your business really exist? If you're not on social media in some regard, does your business even exist? And a lot of people are under the impression that, okay, well, if I decide to have a social media presence, I guess that means I got to be posting every single day. And it really comes down to knowing who you're creating content for. And creating the content specifically for that person. Because once you get into that mindset, you don't need to post so much. And you're going to be building a community of the right people that want to be connected to your business and your brand. And they want to refer business to you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to understand a little bit more about this. Because the argument for posting all the time is all about, well, you got to have the content because of the way that the platforms work. They're only showing you the new stuff, you know, and otherwise people have to go searching for it. Now, my argument is my social channels are for validation purposes. And so that's my goal, is that when somebody sees me, they might go look me up. They might check me out to sort of validate something that they've seen elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I don't mind if I'm in everybody's newsfeed all the time, but I don't know if I'm necessarily right on that front.
Yeah. And I mean, this is where you have to know what the goal is for what you're doing on social media, for the validation, for the, hey, I'm speaking at this event. Oh, you know, this book just came out. I just was on this podcast. All of that is extremely important, but really one of the biggest struggles I see a lot of entrepreneurs making is that they're either doing too much or they're not doing enough. And it's difficult to remain consistent if you are posting, you know, every single day. And it's great to be top of mind. It's great to say like, yes, this is what me and my business does, but you have to understand to know what your goal is from your social media. Is it for more speaking opportunities? Is it for lead gen? Is it to build community? What is your main driver? And if you want to have more speaking opportunities, then showing you speaking on lots of stages and lots of podcasts and, you know, featured in different books, then go for it. But I really do think that with consistency, that's the secret, is remaining consistent. And if you post a bunch and then disappear for a month, you're going to lose a lot of your followers and a lot of potential clients and in your community.
I want to put a little bit of context around the conversation we're happening, because you have a background working with big brands when it comes to the social content that they put out. And I think small businesses often make the mistake of looking at big brands and saying, oh, well, that's an example of what I should be doing. And they try to do the same thing. And I'm going to assume that that's not
teams.
Right. That's probably not true, given budgets and, you know, staff and time and all of those things. So can you talk a little bit about sort of the two different worlds and how they need to be thought about and approached differently?
Yeah, and that's a great point, because, I mean, the Gary V, brilliant marketer, Gary Vaynerchuk, but he has a team of 20 repurposing one video clip, you know, 30 different ways. He has a full team, and not everybody has a full team to consistently push out content. And if you are at, I would say, 50 employees or less, you probably don't have a dedicated social media person that's on your team. When I worked, so I used to work for DirecTV, and I was at the Colorado Rockies. I was the marketing manager for the Colorado Rockies TV station. And one of my jobs was to do the social media. And during the games, I was tweeting from the TV account about, oh, this is what's coming up at the break, and we're going to talk about this. So I was doing all this after hours in addition to my 9-to-5 job. But at the time, like, I loved social media and I saw a lot of potential there. So these were things where I was like, I want to do this because I love it. And social media has really evolved from being that, I want to say, that entry level marketing position to, you have to have a strategy in place and know what the cadence is and what the goal is and who your content is for. Because if you're trying to keep up with the big brands of Nike and, you know, and Gary V and these people that, where they have full content teams, you're going to get burnt out and you're going to be spending all day on social media and not actually creating your content.
You talked a moment ago, before I shifted to sort of the context question, about different types of goals.
Yeah.
And one of the goals that I see is sort of a theme in the way that you talk about social media is this word community. In fact, it's part of the subtitle of your book, The Social Shift, The Road Back to Community. And I wonder if you can dimensionalize that, give us an understanding of what the relationship is between social platforms and this concept of community.
You said it right there, these social platforms. Social platforms. That's what these platforms were all designed to do, was help us connect, find our community, and build out opportunities beyond, you know, our four walls, beyond our zip code, beyond a networking event. And so, and I do think that the pandemic had a lot to do with this, because so many people jumped on to TikTok, and really we had nothing else better to do than spend all day on TikTok and Clubhouse. You know, which, hindsight, like, we really had nothing better to do with Clubhouse. It was a never-ending conference call. but we gave ourselves full, you know, completely up to these social platforms. And these social platforms now have, it's turned into no different opening up Facebook or Instagram or TikTok than it is turning on the television. We're opening up these platforms and we're consuming. We're not connecting anymore. And there's so much power that happens when you go in intentionally on social media. One, you don't need to be on it all the time. Two, you don't need to create as much content. Three, you don't need to be on all the platforms. And I know this sounds crazy coming from a social media agency owner, but I'm trying to shift the way that we're we're just creating to create and hoping that something goes viral, and going viral is not a business strategy. If you go in with intention on these platforms, you're going to build out a community of your biggest brand advocates that want to do business with you and they want to support you. And it really just comes down to intention. And I really want to make sure that, Web3 was a lot more of, NFTs were really prominent in 2022. AI kind of took the main stage in 2023. But that the metaverse, all of the Web3 NFTs, they're still out there. These billionaires, these tech billionaires still have invested a lot of technology in it. This Web3 world, which is a decentralized world without algorithms, when that happens, is your business going to be ready? Because if you've just been producing a whole bunch of content just with hopes of somebody seeing it and it going viral and not actually connecting with your audience, you're going to be in trouble with the next iteration of the internet.
All right. I want to understand that a little bit more, because I'm thinking about, in the world that I'm in, we talk a lot about artificial intelligence and utilizing it in operational decision-making, all of those sort of pieces of a business. But I'm curious how AI and Web3 and future-proofing a business's social activity all sort of fit together.
Yeah, and I think that AI, man, it's funny because there's a tool out there. You have podcasts, you've probably heard of it. It's called CapShow.
In fact, not only have I heard of it, but Deidre was a guest on the show as well. So yeah.
Yeah. Deidre is amazing. CapShow is a great tool. I have a podcast, but I use it for client onboarding. So yeah, agency owners listening to this, check out CapShow. I use it for my new client onboardings. Mm-hmm. That's just a plug to CapShow. It's great. But she came up to me at PodFest in 2022, early 2023. And she said, I have this new tool called CapShow. Or maybe it was 22. Yeah. Anyways, it was a while ago. And I have this new tool. You should check it out. And I was like, I'm not going to have a computer work for me. That sounds silly. Well, who's silly now? I literally just pitched them on your show again for people to check out. But AI is here. Use it as the robot on your shoulder. Use it as that, entry-level assistant to help brainstorm with and, bounce ideas off of. I think that AI is definitely going to shape the way that we are showing up and creating content, but we have to be mindful of it. I mean, nothing gets me to scroll faster than when I see in the feed, like a Facebook feed of emoji of a megaphone saying, attention entrepreneurs. I mean, like literally copy and paste it off of ChatGPT. If we're showing up and we're having our robots write content for us, there's even, ways that you can have AI respond to comments. If we're just having AI talk to AI, then we've really lost the whole meaning of what we're supposed to be doing on social media, which is connecting. And it's just more white noise.
So I guess the question about the decentralization of Web3 that you brought up,
yes,
how do we address that in our businesses so that I don't know what that looks like in the future when it comes to social content, social platform, social connection.
Yeah. So for anyone that's, without going into the weeds too much on this, with anyone that's concerned or confused by decentralization, Discord, that's basically a decentralized social media platform where, honestly, it's just kind of like a giant Slack community with a whole bunch of channels. But in there, people find the Discord and then they get to choose what they want to interact with. They can choose that they want to see the main feed where everyone posts chronologically. They can join into these smaller sub channels. And that's what a decentralized internet looks like. Right now, Mark Zuckerberg and his robots are telling us, I know that, you know, you follow David, Katie, on LinkedIn, but you haven't really engaged with his posts for the past week. So I'm going to show you something, someone else's post first. And then it goes further and further and further. And before you know it, I never see your posts anymore. And it's all based off of an algorithm. Even though you're posting every day, it's based off of an algorithm that decided whether or not I got to see your content. And that's what a decentralized world is with you. If you're in this Web3 world, you get to pick and choose the content you see, the communities that you're a part of, and the content you engage with. It's kind of like a Facebook group on steroids, but that's the only community that you're in.
Well, I guess there's something that's appealing to it, especially for anybody who saw the very, I was going to say opinionated, one-sided, but it's not really a documentary, The Social Dilemma, which yeah. really talks about, you know, the consequences of to our society of the way that these social platforms have gotten us to behave differently over time.
Yeah.
And so I guess there's something, you know, to be said for taking back control through decentralization is one thing, but you're also just talking about this, getting back to your book, in terms of how individuals can or businesses can take control back of the relationship aspect of using these platforms.
Exactly. I think, I mean, who knows? Like maybe, David, like I'm talking about this like it's going to come out next week, but it could be 20 years from now that we see this next wave of the internet come out. What I want is just for us to show up more intentionally so that when it comes out, oh, well, I've been talking like this and posting like this already on social media. You know, it's not going to be as much of a learning curve for when we're not relying on algorithms and paid ads, you know, to help us be seen in front of our target audience. We've already been creating the content that our audience wants to hear. We've already been formulating that community just so that you're ready when it does come. And I think that all of us, I mean, I was at dinner on New Year's Eve, and I was talking with a couple that I had never met before. And he said, so why'd you decide to write this book? And I was like, oh, well, you know, it's, you know, helps my business. I want to like help people get ready for the next wave of the internet. He's like, no, but really why? I was like, honestly, thanks for asking. And I was like, it's because I hate going out to dinners or going out to the park and seeing a group of teenagers sitting in a circle, none of them talking to each other, and they're all on their darn phones. And I hate it. I hate that that's what, you know, they're out together in real life together, and they're missing out on what's going on around them because they're so wrapped up in what's this basically a little television that sits in their pocket. And I want to make sure that with all of us that we're not replicating like bad habits to where we are just all basically living in the metaverse and wanting to be with our online friends and not in our real lives, you know, having these conversations. I mean, granted, we're on a, you know, a video call for this, but, you know, if I was sitting here like this the whole time while you were interviewing me, by the way, I'm holding up my phone, looking at it, you would like, how terrible would you feel? And you wouldn't feel connected to me at all. Like now, you know, like what my passions are, you know, that I make weird faces and move my hands all over the place. I think that we're just missing out on life because of social media. But it's an incredible tool when you go in with intention.
So, okay. There's so many directions we can go. I mean,
sorry. Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
And this is great because I, you know, one of the things that you brought to mind as you were sharing this story is this divide that we have between, you know, sort of the analog and digital natives based on when you were born and what is commonly acceptable and engaged with in our worlds. And so, you know, I think about a story that I heard from, I think it was one of the guys in the category design world, who was talking about how he and his family had taken a trip to Hawaii, and all of the, you know, 45 and older crowd was enjoying their time on the beach, exploring the beauty of the nature. And all of the, you know, 20 somethings were taking videos and then showing each other the videos that they had taken and experiencing the very same thing that was right in front of them, but through the digital aspect of it. And mm-hmm. the societal and mental health implications of that, which have yet to really fully be understood. Mm-hmm. So I want to take that whole concept and pull it back to, as businesses utilizing these platforms, what are the recommendations that you have about how to leverage them for the power that they can give us as a business? But where do we draw the line?
Yeah, and I think that it really comes back to knowing who your post is for, what the goal is behind it, and being intentional. I think that we have to be online because we have to. I mean, like I said at the very beginning of this show, if you're not on social media, does your business even exist? But here I am saying, well, get off of social media, and it's very, very confusing. But
so let's do this, because I know that you work with lots of different businesses, mm-hmm. different business types. Could you just give us, you know, sort of a made up scenario,
yeah.
of what we should maybe not do and what we should work or aspire to do?
I can tell you an exact framework of what you should do. So it is called my four-post strategy. It's the awareness to action strategy. And it is, if you want to do this every day, you can. If you want to do it four times a week, if you want to do it four times a month, this is a strategy that will work. And it's all laid out in chapter 8 of my book. But the first post that you want to, so it's knowing exactly who your content is for. Who are you trying? Because if you're creating content for yourself, that's fine, but no one's going to engage with it. No one's going to resonate with it. And people especially are not going to buy from you. So you need to sit down with your team and say, okay, well, who is our target audience? Who do we want to get in front of? So for myself, my two main platforms are Instagram and LinkedIn. And my audience on Instagram is, last I checked, which was about 2 weeks ago, was 72% females, ages 35 to 44. On Instagram, I have mostly male founders. I'm sorry, LinkedIn, I have mostly male founders. I don't see their ages. They don't give you ages on LinkedIn. But those are two very different demographics. And so on Instagram, I can still share the same message, the same content. However, I have to write it for my avatar, Sarah, who is a mom with kids, you know, 12 and under, who's an entrepreneur growing her business. I can write this post for her, and maybe I share, you know, as a mom, as a busy mom growing my business, I know how hard it was to XYZ. I can write specifically for that person. Over on LinkedIn, I write for Eric. And I know Eric has about 10 employees working for him, but he still is going through a lot of the busy entrepreneur struggles. So I can say, I know that when I first started my business, very first hire I made with my assistant, what changed everything. And I just switched the narrative enough, so I'm speaking exactly to that person that says, hey, this is for me. And it doesn't say mean that, like, oh, the men following me on Instagram, you know, don't care. They're not going to, you know, like my post. But I know that I'm getting in front of my target audience with every single post that I push out there. So the first post that I recommend is an awareness post that just kind of reinvigorates yourself in the algorithm, making people problem aware of whatever your theme for the week is. And the theme is not like National Hot Chocolate Day. That's not a theme. So for me, So for you, David, mm-hmm. you want to promote this podcast episode and your awareness post, because you're mostly LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So you do a post as a poll on LinkedIn that says, super simple. How often do you post on social media? Give it options: once a week, every day, once a month, never. That's it. That is your post. But that's the best post over on LinkedIn at the time of this recording that's going to get the most reach. You're mm-hmm. making people problem aware. The next post that you're going to want to do is an elaboration post. I love LinkedIn articles or LinkedIn newsletters for the elaboration post. It's a long form post where you can elaborate on the topic that you just made people problem aware of. So again, you can say, maybe it's an article about how you create 6 pieces of content from one podcast episode. And you can go through your 6-step process of what you do for every single podcast episode. And it gives you 6 LinkedIn posts. Isn't that awesome? And that's your article. The next post that you're going to want to do is your community post. And we can tap, I love these. It's just a single picture. So maybe it's a picture of you and I
mm-hmm.
after we're done with this. And you can say, I used to be overwhelmed with all of the social medias, or I used to think that I had to post 3 times a day on social media. And Katie told me to stop posting so much and just start posting 4 times a week. And at first I thought she was crazy. And you're telling a narrative, you're telling your story about something that you learned, something that you overcame. Maybe Katie's ideas are for the birds, but here you go, that this is us talking about it. And then your last post is your action post. You notice none of the posts that I talked about earlier in the week told you to listen to our podcast episode. It just was making people, hey, how often are you posting? This is what I do with my posting. I actually sat down and talked with Katie about some of her strategies. And oh, by the way, 4th post action, you should listen to the full episode because she goes off on some crazy tangents about the metaverse and her 4 post strategy. Click the link in the comments to listen.
I love the self-awareness that you delivered that with. So that's great. I have one question that I would get asked if I went through that. And so I'm going to ask this question because it's something that I'm asked about email marketing with a similar sort of distribution of types of content in email. Is everybody supposed to read every single one of those posts?
No.
So what happens if people aren't seeing the call to action post? They're only seeing the other ones. Are they ever going to listen to the episode?
So this is where you're bringing in the right people for each post. I've found that people that have gone through this system have seen an increase in reach by 1,100%. They've seen an increase in engagement by 250%. These are real numbers. I'm not just making them up. It's because people are seeing the content that they want to engage with. And yes, like you said, if someone's been on vacation and they didn't see your poll or anything like that, that's fine. They still saw it. Maybe they'll click on it. But you're going to be bringing people through the customer journey with you every single, week of here's the problem. And like I said, if you want to post daily, you can. You can still use this framework, and it's going to take people so that you're going to have more sales, more leads, more downloads, more opt-ins, because you've made people aware that you have the answers to the problems that they're having with their business.
So again, it's awareness, it's expansion, community, elaboration.
Yeah, same thing.
Community, and then some sort of promotional action. Call to action activity that happens at the end of it. So you have mapped this out. It's in the book, and you also sort of have a how to get up and running with this guidance as well, which I think is available on your website. And I wonder where folks can find out about that and also find out about what else you do.
Yeah. If you want to connect with me, check out the book. I do have a planner, which lays out the whole 4-post strategy so that you can map out like, okay, these are the themes. This is how I'm going to post it. These are the metrics to track, all of that. And that's available. You can get everything at katiebrinkley.com and navigate through there to all of the things. But katiebrinkley.com is the best way to connect with me.
Well, brilliant. We'll leave that link as well as links to some of your individual pieces, the book, as well as the planner in the show notes as well. Katie Brinkley, thank you so very much. This has been a fun conversation, and there's so much more I want to follow up with you on, but we're going to do that offline and see if we can't get you back here for another conversation at some point in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Indeed. Folks, you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. If you know someone who could benefit from listening to the conversation you've just heard, please share this with them. Until next time, I'm David Baer. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.